Success Live with the Reverend Donald Gordon Carty, Ph.D. Segment 21, Operation of Your Mental Picture by Genevieve Berend from the book Your Invisible Power. The operation of a large telephone system may be used as a simile. The main or head central subdivides itself into main branch centrals, every branch being in direct connection with the main central, and each individual branch, recognizing the source of its existence, reports all things to its central head. Therefore, when assistance of any nature is required, new supplies, difficult repairs to be done, or what not, the branch in need goes at once to its central head. It would not think of referring its difficulties or its successes to the main central of a telegraph system, though they might belong to the same organization. These different branch centrals know that the only remedy for any difficulty must come from the central out of which they were projected and to which they are always attached. If we, as individual branches of the universal mind, would refer our difficulties in the same confident manner to the source from which we were projected and use the remedies which it has provided, we would realize what Jesus meant when he said, "Ask, and ye shall receive." Our every requirement would be met. Surely the father must supply the child. The trunk of the tree cannot fail to provide for its branches. A man came to me in great distress, saying he was about to lose his home in the South. In his own words, it was mortgaged to the hilt, and his creditors were going to foreclose. It was the house in which he had been born and had grown to young manhood, and the thought of losing it filled his heart and mind with sorrow, not only from a money standpoint, but from the standpoint of sentimental association. I explained to him that the power that brought him into existence did so for the purpose of expressing its limitless power through him, that there was no power on earth which could cut him off from his source except his own consciousness, and that in reality he would not be cut off then. I explained to him that he had it, but was unable to recognize that it was there, and said to him, "Infinite substance is manifesting in you right now." The next week, on Sunday, just before leaving my dressing room in the Selwyn Theater to give my afternoon message, I received the following note. "Dear Mrs. Berend, I want you to know that I am the happiest man in the whole city of New York. My home in the South is saved. The money came in the most miraculous way, and I have telegraphed enough to pay off the mortgage. Please tell the people this afternoon about this wonderful power." You may be sure I did, explaining to them that everything animate or inanimate is called into existence or outstandingness by a power which itself does not stand out. The power which creates the mental picture, the originating spirit substance of our pictured desire, does not stand out. It projects the substance of itself, which is a solidified counterpart of itself, while it, the power, remains invisible to the physical eye. Those will appreciate the value of visualizing who are able to realize Paul's meaning when he said, "The worlds were formed by the word of God." Things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. There is nothing unusual or mysterious in the idea of your pictured desire coming into material evidence. It is the working of a universal natural law. The world was projected by the self-contemplation of the universal mind, and this same action is taking place in its individualized branch, which is the mind of man. Everything in the whole world, from the hat on your head to the boots on your feet, has its beginning in the mind and comes into existence in exactly the same manner. All are projected thoughts, solidified. Your personal advance and evolution depends on your right use of the power of visualizing. And your use of it depends on whether you recognize that you, yourself, are a particular center through and in which the originating spirit is finding ever new expression for potentialities already existing within itself. This is evolution. Your mental picture is the force of attraction which evolves and combines the originating substance into specific shape. Your picture is the combining and evolving powerhouse, in a generative sense, so to say, through which the originating creative spirit expresses itself. Its creative action is limitless, without beginning and without end, and always progressive and orderly. It proceeds stage by stage, each stage being a necessary preparation for the one to follow. Now let us see if we can get an idea of the different stages by which the things in the world have come to be. Troward says, if we can get at the working principle which is producing these results, we can very quickly and easily give it personal application. First, we find that the thought of originating life, or spirit, concerning itself, is its simple awareness of its own being, and this, demanding a relationship to something else, produces a primary ether, a universal substance out of which everything in the world must grow. Troward also tells us that, though this awareness of being is a necessary foundation for any further possibilities, it is not much to talk about. It is the same with individualized spirit, which is yourself. Before you can entertain the idea of making a mental picture of your desire as being at all practical, you must have some idea of your being, of your I am. And just as soon as you are conscious of your I am-ness, you begin to wish to enjoy the freedom which this consciousness suggests. You may want to do more and be more, and as you fulfill this desire within yourself, localized spirit begins conscious activities in you. The thing you are more concerned with is the specific action of the creative spirit of life, universal mind specialized. The localized God germ in you is your personality, your individuality, and since the joy of absolute freedom is the inherent nature of this God germ, it is natural that it should endeavor to enjoy itself through its specific center. And as you grow in the comprehension that your being, your individuality, is God particularizing himself, you naturally develop divine tendencies. You want to enjoy a life and liberty. You want freedom in your affairs, as well as in your consciousness, and it is natural that you should. With this progressive wish, there is always a faint thought picture. As your wish and your recognition grow into an intense desire, this desire becomes a clear mental picture. For example, a young lady studying music wishes she had a piano in order to practice at home. She wants the piano so much that she can mentally see it in one of the rooms. She holds the picture of the piano and indulges in the mental reflection of the pleasure and advantage it will be to have the piano in the corner of the living room. One day, she finds it there, just as she had pictured it. As you grow an understanding as to who you are, where you are from, what the purpose of your being is, and how you will fulfill that purpose for which you are intended, you will become a more and more perfect center through which the creative spirit of life can enjoy itself. And you will realize that there can be but one creative process filling all space, which is the same in its potentiality, whether universal or individual. Furthermore, all there is, whether on the plane of the visible or invisible, had its origin in the localized section of thought or a mental picture, and this includes yourself, because you are a universal spirit localized, and the same creative action is taking place through you. Now you are no doubt asking yourself why there is so much sickness and misery in the world. If the same power and intelligence which brought the world into existence is in operation in the mind of man, why does it not manifest itself as strength, joy, health, and plenty? If one can have one's desires fulfilled by making a mental picture of that desire, holding on to it with the will and without anxiety, doing on the outward plane whatever seems necessary to bring the desire into fulfillment, then there seems no reason for the existence of sickness and poverty. Surely no one desires either. The first reason is that few persons will take the trouble to inquire into the working principle of the laws of life. If they did, they would soon convince themselves that there is no necessity for the sickness and poverty which we see about us. They would realize that visualizing is a principle and not a fallacy. There are a few who have found it worthwhile to study this simple, though absolutely unfailing law, which will deliver them from bondage. However, the race as a whole is not willing to give the time required for the study. It is either too simple or too difficult. They may make a picture of their desire with some little understanding of visualizing for a day or two, but more frequently, it is for an hour or so. If you will insist upon mentally seeing yourself surrounded by things and conditions as you wish them to be, you will understand that the creative energy sends its substance in the direction indicated by the tendency of your thoughts. Herein lies the advantage of holding your thought in the form of a mental picture. A man in the hardware business in New Jersey came to me in great distress. He would have to go into bankruptcy unless something happened in a fortnight. He said he had never heard of visualizing. I explained to him how to make a mental picture of his business increasing, instead of a picture of losing it. In about a month's time, he returned very happy and told me how he had succeeded. He said, "I have my debts all paid and my shop is full of new supplies." His business was then on a solid basis. It was beautiful to see his faith. The more enthusiasm and faith you are able to put into your picture, the more quickly it will come into visible form. And your enthusiasm is increased by keeping your desire secret. The moment you speak it to any living soul, that moment your power is weakened. Your power, your magnet of attraction, is not that strong, and consequently cannot reach so far. The more perfectly a secret between your mind and your outer self is guarded, the more vitality you give your power of attraction. One tells one's troubles to weaken them, to get them off one's mind, and when a thought is given out, its power is dissipated. Talk it over with yourself, and even write it down, then destroy the paper. However, this does not mean that you should strenuously endeavor to compel the power to work out your picture on the special lines that you think it should. That method would soon exhaust you and hinder the fulfillment of your purpose. A wealthy relative need not necessarily die or someone lose a fortune on the street to materialize the $10,000 which you are mentally picturing. One of the doormen in the building in which I lived heard much of the mental picturing of desires from visitors passing out of my rooms. The average desire was for $500. He considered that $5 was more in his line and began to visualize it, without the slightest idea of where or how he was to get it. My parrot flew out of the window, and I telephoned to the man in the courtyard to get it for me. One caught it, and it bit him on the finger. The doorman, who had gloves on and did not fear a similar hurt, took hold of it and brought it up to me. I gave him 5 $1 bills for his service. This sudden reward surprised him. He enthusiastically told me that he had been visualizing for just $5, merely from hearing that others visualized. He was delighted at the unexpected realization of his mental picture. All you have to do is make such a mental picture of your heart's desire and hold it cheerfully in place with your will, always conscious that the same infinite power which brought the universe into existence brought you into form for the purpose of enjoying itself in and through you. And since it is all life, love, light, power, peace, beauty, and joy, and is the only creative power there is, the form it takes in and through you depends upon the direction given it by your thought. In you, it is undifferentiated, waiting to take any direction given it as it passes through the instrument which it has made for the purpose of self-distribution, you. It is this power which enables you to transfer your thoughts from one form to another. The power to change your mind is the individualized universal power taking the initiative, giving direction to the unformed substance contained in every thought. It is the simplest thing in the world to give this highly sensitive substance any form you will, through visualizing. Anyone can do it with a small expenditure of effort. Once you really believe that your mind is a center through which the unformed substance of all there is in your world takes involuntary form, the only reason your picture does not always materialize is because you have introduced something antagonistic to the fundamental principle. Very often, this destructive element is caused by the frequency with which you change your pictures. After many such changes, you decide that your original desire is what you want after all. Upon this conclusion, you begin to wonder why it, being your first picture, has not materialized. The substance with which you are mentally dealing is more sensitive than the most sensitive photographer's film. If, while taking a picture, you suddenly remembered that you had already taken a picture on that same plate, you would not expect a perfect result of either picture. On the other hand, you may have taken two pictures on the same plate unconsciously. When the plate has been developed and the picture comes into physical view, you do not condemn the principle of photography, nor are you puzzled to understand why your picture has turned out so unsatisfactorily. You do not feel that it is impossible for you to obtain a good, clear picture of the subject in question. You know that you can do so by simply starting at the beginning, putting in a plate, and determining to be more careful while taking your picture next time. If these lines are followed out, you are sure of a satisfactory result. If you will proceed in the same manner with your mental picture, doing your part in a correspondingly confident frame of mind, the result will be just as perfect. The laws of visualizing are as infallible as the laws governing photography. In fact, photography is the outcome of visualizing. Again, your results in visualizing the fulfillment of your desires may be imperfect, and your desires delayed through the misuse of this power, owing to the thought that the fulfillment of your desire is contingent upon certain persons or conditions. The originating principle is not in any way dependent upon any person, place, or thing. It has no past and knows no future. The law is that the originating creative principle of life is the universal here and everlasting now. It creates its own vehicles through which to operate. Therefore, past experience has no bearing upon your present picture. So do not try to obtain your desire through a channel which may not be natural for it, even though it may seem reasonable to you. Your feeling should be that the thing, or the consciousness, which you so much desire is normal and natural, a part of yourself, a form of your evolution. If you can do this, there is no power to prevent your enjoying the fulfillment of the picture you have in mind, or any other you may create. This segment sponsored by the Personal Development Institute. Please visit them at www.thepdi.com or www.personaldevelopmentinstitute.com. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. Bye for now. Success Live with the Reverend Donald Gordon Carty, Ph.D.